He really is. We can't sit back and whine and complain about all the things that's going wrong in our lives when we can actually step back from the whole situation and see what God has stopped, what God has protected us from. You know, back in the 80s, those of you Remy Grant fans knew the song Angels. You don't know what God just stopped from coming your way. He might have caused a car to run out of gas. He might have allowed you to get a flat tire to keep you out of an accident. I know he allowed me to sleep in one morning to keep me out of it. I drove right past it. That's how I know. It was right in the lane I would have been in, and I drove right past a 10-car pileup. We don't know what God has stopped on our behalf. You know, Rob, God might not have let all your business stuff go through just to protect you. Did you think about that? I'm sure you did. We've thought about it as well. What has God stopped us from moving on in to protect us? It seemed like a good idea at the time, right? Well, I'll tell you what good ideas at the time get you. It'll get you catching your church on fire. It seemed like a good idea, but you know what? When I had to punch a hole in the wall and put the fire out, it wasn't such a good idea. I just did that this week. Jerry and I were trying to pull a board off the outside of the building that had a, because not everybody was in here and knows this, that had 20-penny ring shank nails in it, and they don't back out. We could not get the 2x8 off. I told him, I got an idea. I've got torches in here. I'll melt the nail heads. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Except the paper and the wasp nest that was behind all that caught fire before. And it caught that little piece of wood on fire in there, you know, that's only 8x8 and runs from floor to ceiling. And we got the outside fire put out, and it's like, oh, let's go inside and see what may be happening inside. And I told you, I said, that's still hot. There's still a fire in the wall. So it was a good idea, but God protected us. Unfortunately, and I apologize again, ladies, we had to evacuate the ladies out of here because it stunk. They were in during their Bible study. Miss Joanne had just got going, and here come Jerry and I around the corner with a pickaxe and a fire extinguisher. Oh, praise God. You know, I tell that because I want you to laugh sometimes. Quit thinking about all the garbage you just went through. Laugh at me, I don't care. Sometimes I think if I hadn't done, well, I think being a comedian was the only thing I didn't do. I've built hog barns, turkey barns, houses, kitchens, painted cars, painted trucks, buses, took pictures. I've done it all. And now I'm preaching. I never was a comedian. Always considered I better watch how I state that next phrase. Always considered myself a little funny, but that might get me in trouble. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles this morning to the First John chapter 4. On October 7th this year, we had a real interesting thing happen. Our 4-year-old started asking us things about God and about the devil and about heaven and about hell. Well, within about an hour later, Justin accepted the Lord. And ever since, and this is a 4-year-old, this is how I know it's totally innocent. But that 4-year-old, ever since then, has been proclaiming, Daddy, I hate hell, I hate the devil, I hate this, I hate that. Anything? Now, I want you to understand, the Lord spoke up into me. He said, I don't hate. I don't hate. Now, I know you can go through your Bible and say, Pastor, I'll show you Scripture right now that says the Lord hates these 6 things and the 7th is an abomination. I'm going to challenge you. Go in your Bible. And I've got the word. It's in A. in the Hebrew. And it means I oppose. But the word hate is such a strong, I mean, here's my mother. She can tell you, we were never allowed to use the word hate. If we said we hated one another, we all got beat. Even the person who got hated. Just had to throw that. We'll just take care of it all. We'll take care of this seed of hate. But when we start hating things, we lose focus. And God told me, he says, I don't hate. I oppose it. I disrespect it. But I do not hate. And I knew as soon as I opened this can of worms that I was just going to totally explode here on this. And now my notes are almost worthless already. But I'll give you what the Hebrew word. It's 8130. If anybody, you know, who wants to challenge me on this, go get your Strongs and we'll sit down and look. And you're going to see exactly what I'm saying. There were only two words used. And one of them, the main one was 8130. And it's sine. It primarily means to be opposed. God says, I oppose these things. I oppose, you know, the word says, our English word says, and I hate Esau. Now that sounds a little contradictory to a God who is love, because that's what we're about to read here. God is love. My Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, which means all of us, Osama bin Laden included, Saddam Hussein, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, God loved them just as much as he loved you. So how could God say he hates Esau? Because in our connotation in 21st century, hate does not equate what was being equated here. God says, I oppose Esau. I'm against Esau. See, that's the problem when we just take for granted what we think a word says. I really, truly did not understand the whole breakdown of the English language and being translated until I went to Ukraine, and when I got up to preach, they said, do you have any scripture out of the book of Psalms? I said, well, no. Why? And she said, because your Psalms do not translate accord with ours. We don't understand yours. And now I'm friend with on Facebook. I'm friends with my translator, and so is Angela. And Angela wrote something one day, and you know, God has blessed her to be able to speak into people's lives through that. And on the other side of the world, and Angela wrote something out of her Bible from, I think it was out of, was it out of Psalms though? I don't know. But anyhow, she replied back. She said, I love the way this reads in your language. I know this in our language, and it does not translate like this. I understand it. But see, they lack words that were missing in the Greek, and they didn't have them. Our language, how many of you guys know, we do not really speak English. We speak mutt. As I looked up the word hate in Noah Webster's dictionary from 1874 and read down through there on hate, he listed, he listed Danish, Swedish, I think there was four or five different languages that we take to combine to make our word hate. Now I'm like, okay, yeah, we're mutts all the way through. That's just all there is to it. Our language is a combined language, and that's why it gets a little confusing sometimes. And now it's even worse. Because if you say something's righteous, you're not talking about holy. Man, that car's righteous. You just think it looks cool. You know? And then when I was a kid, it was, that's bad. Yeah, sweet. You know? And then ladies, back in the 90s, there came a term that if they thought of what, they'd say, she's fat. P-H-A-T. Pretty hot and tempting. But you go tell a woman she's fat, every man in here knows. You're going to pull back a nub. Whether you walk around like this the rest of your life or like this, one of the two is going to happen. Even if I thought my wife was maybe just sporting a little too much baby weight, I never told her. I'm not stupid. I may be ignorant in some things from time to time, but I'm not stupid. My father had taught me well. So now let's go to 1 John 4. And I want to go to verse 7. It said, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Have you noticed anywhere yet so far it doesn't mention the word hate? But yet today in the church, there's a lot of churches themselves that are totally focused on hate. I hate this, I hate that. We hate sin. Okay, let's stop with focusing on hate. Because God doesn't. God focuses in on love. He doesn't like the sin. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God does not focus on hate. He does not focus on what he dislikes. There's a church, and I'm not going to pull any punches, Westboro Baptist. If you've never heard of them, just go on the internet, type in their name, and you will see, type in images, and the first things you will see is a sign that says, "God hates fags." Unscriptural. Totally unscriptural. The reason I bring it up is there was they picket military funerals. I'm just waiting for them to come to Ohio. Seriously, you think I'm kidding? We just had a soldier killed last week. There was a soldier killed in West Virginia, and they buried him last week. And his church said, "We're going to go picket." Miraculously, something happened. They didn't. Well, being from West Virginia, your mama can tell you about this too. Anybody else that's ever been to West Virginia? They ain't going to show up at one of their children's funerals and picket it. You just messed with a bunch of rednecks with rifles. And trust me, they know how to use them. But see, that church is so focused on hate, they've missed the point of God's love. Because there's signs, I kid you not, it says, "God hates fags." Totally unscriptural. That's a total lack of love. God opposes the sins, but God would have sent Jesus to die if the world was left with nothing but homosexuals. That's what he would have done. Because he loves them. I don't agree with their sin. And the Lord really started checking me on some things. I remember one time being in a hunter safety course back when I was 17. And they were teaching us a little bit about what happens if you're stuck outside in the cold. This one particular person who I know well raised his hand and he said, "Well, what if the person's gay? And he's freezing to death. He's got hypothermia." And they said, "Well, what if he's gay?" Well, the instructor didn't know what to say at this time. And he said, "That's your decision." Because I want to tell you, folks, and this is what they teach you. This is what they teach you in any kind of survival training when you're freezing to death. You get warmer quicker naked. You can warm up a body with flesh to flesh. And so the guy said, "Well, that's going to be your decision." Do you want to know what the resounding reply was? "He's going to die." That's love for you, isn't it? He didn't say you got to copulate. It didn't say anything perverted like that. It just says, you got to love him. Regardless of what I think about it, I don't know that I'm going to strip down totally anyhow. I think God created skivvies for a reason. But you can't. If my brother Harold is freezing to death, I'm going to do everything in my power. Rob, you too. Yeah, you too, Grizzly Adams. Because I love you, man, and you know that. I'm not going to try to hit on you. But I love you enough that I'm saying, you know what? I don't care what people think. I want to see him tomorrow. I'm alive and he's about to die. But yet, we as the church, the body of Christ, have focused so much on our hatred of the sin that we've transferred that hatred over to the person. And we say we don't. Oh, I love... Really? I remember a couple years ago, for those of you that were not aware of it, Alice Cooper did get saved. And he and I've got the one CD. He really became flat out on it. And he did a lot of preaching on that CD. I'm like, holy smoke, now that I've listened to the whole CD, I'm like, he got a revelation. By the way, his daddy was a preacher. But then later, I think it was on his next release, he did another song. And I think it was called Blow Me a Kiss and Blow Me Away. I heard that song at work playing on the radio, and I was convicted. Because he began singing the song from the perspective of somebody who's shunned. And he sang it in the one verse, he sang it from the point of a homosexual to a Christian. He said, "Blow me a kiss." In other words, show me your love. And blow me away. But do you know what we do? We've got nut jobs, and I hope this goes, this is on the internet, so it don't matter. Maybe they'll hear it. We got nut jobs running around saying that God hates you. I mean, come on. That's stupid. It's like saying, God hates you because you've got curly hair. God hates you because you wear glasses. That is the most ignorant thing I have ever heard. And yet we call ourselves Christians. That means we're supposed to act like, I'm going to really get into this here in a minute. I have yet begun to preach. Just getting fired up. And as the Lord has been dealing with me about things, I shared with Angel a little bit. Like I said, normally I don't share, but we had an hour drive last night from Columbus, and I just thought, hey, we'll talk. Maybe I'll keep her awake, and it almost succeeded. You fell asleep once. But she did pretty good. And I began to share with her as the Holy Spirit was welling up in me about this message. That what we have done... How many people realize we created the militant homosexuals? We did it. We opposed them and denied them rights. We allowed people to beat them. We allowed people to persecute them. That's not what we're called to do. You know what? Regardless of whether or not I think Joanne should wear a red sweatshirt or sweater, I'm not going to deny her the right. It is a right. I'm not talking about homosexual marriages. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. Even the church has made such a mockery of marriage. What does it mean anymore? You've got pastors getting divorced. And I'm talking world-leading pastors. Give me a Pentecostal break. You better stop what you're doing right now, repent, and get back to the beginning. Start at the beginning. Close your ministry down and start over. Because you lost the one thing that God said that He despises. You broke a covenant. Now, but here's what's happened. The church has done this. We've ostracized them. We did people, the Jews did it to the lepers. They did the same thing to lepers. It was just a disease. God separated them for the safety of the lepers. Because we've actually come to find out it's not that contagious. But here's what happens. People are no different than chickens. I raised 150 chickens. And I saw this time after time, and it made me mad. And I'd kick the snot out of those other chickens. One would get sick, and they all gang up on it and start pecking it until it died. That would make me so mad. You know why? Because I lost another chicken. And it was on me. And man, I'd come in here and I'd see them, rah, 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 and I'd just kick them. I didn't care at that point because they were attacking somebody who was down. That's what the church has become. Do you know why most people become homosexuals? Why most people turn to drugs? People turn to these other... They're hurting. They turn to false religions because they're hurting. And the church turns and attacks the person. God never told us to go and attack anybody. God didn't. This is my personal feeling about this. I don't think God gave a rip about what happened during the Crusades. Jerusalem, what did that do? Really? Did it solve anything for the Christian nations to rise up and go to Jerusalem? No. The Temple Mount still belongs to the Muslims. But all that happened was thousands of people were killed. And we were doing it in the name of God, in the name of spreading love. Now, you're a pastor. Have you ever seen where God told us in the New Testament to go and kill our enemies? No. Not once. Matter of fact, I'll tell you in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you've been told this, to hate your enemy. He says, I'm going to tell you to love your enemy. Do good to them who persecute you. That's a hard row to hoe. Jesus said, they hated me, and that word was meaning, even the Greek word. Today we have so many different words, the hate is boiled down to what it really is. And this is my definition, it's the total absence of love. That's what hate really is. They're going to persecute you, folks. Listen, they persecuted the prophet Elisha for being bald. Seriously. They persecuted him because his hair fell out. Now, those of us, because it had attacked me once, they said I had a cowlick, and, well, Miss Monica can tell you, it's not there anymore. We couldn't stop that, normally. I spoke to mine and told the hair to quit falling out. And I haven't seen my hairline go back any further because my grandpa was bald. It ain't happening. But here's what the church does, the exact same thing. There's so many, listen, okay, Islam is not the same as Christianity. You've heard me preach this before. Islam is not a religion of peace. It is a religion of hate. And that's exactly what if you want to be like Islam, keep on this hatred thing. But I promise you, you won't be here very long. Not in this church. There's churches in this county that will welcome you in if you're full of hate. I told you once before, I know personally of a woman who was possessed of the devil in the church because she began to hate somebody else in that church, in that service. Now, we've had devils walk in here before, but I'm going to tell you right now, they do not have a right in this place to operate. So what we started reading, like I said, I haven't even gotten two scriptures in yet. Verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, when somebody gets saved, you know what the first book they read is? Revelation. There are people that have been saved for 50 years that haven't got a clue what the book of Revelation is really talking about. It's talking about things past and present and to come. And you got to have the Holy Spirit to interpret this. But when somebody gets saved here, you know what I tell them? I said, read the book of John. Then go to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. You read those four books first. Because John, there was a reason Jesus loved John. He understood him. He understood the love that Jesus had. The love that God sent. That's why John 3:16 is in John. Peter didn't write it. The Apostle Paul did not write that. John did. John understood the love, and he understood God that way more than anybody. And since God is love, wouldn't you rather understand love? I heard somebody, and I can't remember who it was, taught this one time. He said, anywhere you see the word God, you can automatically substitute. He was teaching out of this book of John. He said, you can substitute the word love everywhere. For love so loved the world that love gave. I did not fully understand anything about love until I had to give up my own rights. Because I'll be honest with you, the common teaching when I was growing up in the church was what we're facing right now. We're facing the culmination of all those years of teaching hatred instead of love. I'm not talking tolerance of sin. I'm talking the hatred. We focused on the hatred, and the hatred boiled over onto the people. We couldn't separate them anymore. And because of that, but anyhow, I had no comprehension of what real love was. But my Bible tells me now, and I understand this, that if I really love, I will lay down my life. I will lay down my rights. And as a Marine, I finally figured that out. Because you know what happened? And these other guys, that even in the Army, they'll tell you. What you gave up was your own rights. You gave up your right to freedom of speech. You didn't just get to say whatever you wanted to say whenever you wanted to say it. But you gave it up to secure it for somebody else. Now, they did let you serve your own God, but you had to give up a lot of rights in order to protect those rights for somebody else. See, in order for us to have freedom of religion in this country, the right to choose. See, our founding forefathers weren't stupid. I think they did understand more about God than we give them credit for. They understood that God is into free will. He wants you to love Him because you choose to, not because the government dictates it. So let me ask you, and those of you, did our founding forefathers mean that if you were a Muslim, you were a Satanist, you were a Wiccan, you were a Buddhist, that we would protect your right to serve your religion? Yes. Yes, they did. Because they understood that you have to choose. You can't be forced to love. You have to choose. You have to be able to choose. Angela loved me before we had ever said five words. God had already told her, he's for you, just wait. I was off running around trying to do my own thing. She could not do anything to make me love her. I had to love her on her own on those terms of, I just loved her. I got to know her. Because see, that was one of the things that kept me away from her. I thought, man, I always thought she was a little more uppity than me. You know, I thought, I'm just a redneck. You know, I'm from West Virginia. Then I got to know her family. I'm not saying that listen, they're rednecks. Okay, they're from Morrow County. Well, just get it out. There isn't nothing wrong with being a redneck. There's absolutely nothing wrong, because it just means you're not afraid to work. that you're usually a good, honest person. It's just a mentality that people have thrown on to people who are not afraid of doing something hard. In today's computer age, oh, well, no, we can do that with the computer. Guess what happens when the computer goes down? We'll make another. No, wait a minute. Somebody's got to make the plant. Somebody's got to run the electric lines to the plant. Somebody's got to run the electric lines to your house. Somebody has to do all that. You are totally relying on somebody who's not afraid to work. So if you're one of those people that think rednecks are a bad thing, I'm going to stand at the back door and let you run. We're going to have a gauntlet. They did, yeah. We're going to love you all the way out the door. That's what I had in mind. See, they did a gauntlet for me when I got promoted to PFC because typically you stand around and let everybody beat the snot out of you. When you're a PFC in the Marine Corps, everybody outranks you. I was a sitting duck. I said, I tell you what, you can have me if you can catch me. And I got to my room, locked my door. I wouldn't even let my roommates in because they both outranked me. They couldn't outrun me. So everybody waited till the next day. We got done with class. We're getting ready to go the evening formation. They said, before we go, we got one more thing to do. And they said, Woody, come here. Everybody, even the guys that got promoted yesterday, lined up. And he said, because you ran, you now have to go through the gauntlet. I praise God for speed and wisdom. And for a stupid leader. Because while he stayed, see, I already figured out what I had to do. I mean, remember, I'm a redneck. I'm standing there. There's this line from here to the door. Guys on each side. And they're only, this is what they're going to be giving me. I'm not into a beating. And while my Lance Corporal's standing up here running his mouth about what's going to happen, I knew what was going to happen, and I took off running. I got one punch, and I think the guy may have broke his fingers because you hit my forehead because somebody tripped me. He tripped me, and I went, and somebody caught me with the left hand and hit me right on the forehead. I got up. I knew who it was because he's over here shaking his hand like this. I said, I did your gauntlet, now leave me alone. Anyhow, just a little story. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. It means matured, folks. Everybody's worrying about trying to be perfect. You will never be perfect living here on this earth. But mature is a totally different thing. I believe maturity is when you make a mistake, you're a man or woman enough to admit it. Okay? By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Verse 16. And we have known and delivered the love of God has for, and believed, I'm sorry, and believed the love of God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Does it say anywhere if we abide in hate? No. It says that we abide in love. That means we live there. We stay there. We are camped out. We are not moving. In love. That God will live in us and we will live in God. But again, that's not what's happening. Everybody's focused on what they hate. And it's a religious spirit. I'll tell you right now what's behind it. Well, we hate that. You know, Justin, like I said, we've been working on him now. After the Lord really put a check on me about this, I told him, I said, listen, we don't hate. I said, you don't have to like that. We don't celebrate Halloween here. Okay? Justin says to me this morning, Dad, do you hate Halloween? I said, buddy, I don't like Halloween, but I hate nothing. I don't have to like it. We're driving down the road, and Justin's out of the blue. He says, Dad, Joshua hates Dodges. I said, well, I don't hate them, but I don't like them. If you drive a Dodge, I'm sorry, but that's all they've got going for them is a motor made by somebody else. But anyhow, I said, I don't hate them. Why should I hate them? First off, it's an inanimate object. Who cares? But if I sit there and I focus on my hate, see, that's what, you know, Pastor Bob, most of you know Pastor Bob from Michigan. He said he used to when he first started up there, he said, I used to egg on, he's from Ohio, so he'd egg on the Michigan, especially when Ohio would beat Michigan. And in the earlier days, we didn't do that very often when he was starting in his ministry. But he said, what I discovered was I had people in there who could not differentiate. And they had a hatred that would boil up in them over this. Okay, first off, I'm saying, dude, get over it. It's a stupid, and I emphasize and capitalize and exclamationize the word stupid game. I love to play it. Okay? And when I've got somebody who, that I know who's playing it, I love to watch it. Other than that, I could care less for it. They're the warriors of the gridiron. Okay, my veterans in here, do you consider them to be warriors? They're playing a game that I played in the third grade. They're getting paid millions of dollars, and I did it just for fun. Now let's talk about stupid. The people that pay $60 a ticket to stand in a nosebleed section and freeze their butts off. I'm serious. That's where I stand. I know you guys love football. I don't care. You don't have to care that I don't. I think it's ridiculous. No, you don't. No, I know you don't. And we've got the little rivalries in here. Steelers, the Browns, the Bengals. That's great. Keep it just as a friendly rivalry. Just like, you know, JD and I know, and my brothers in the Army. There's a rivalry there, okay? But we know that we're looking out for each other. And you know, and there's even times, listen, people get carried away with all this hatred stuff. It even carried over, I can speak for the Marines because that's where I was at. It carried over there. You've got Motor T against Supply. Motor T thought we were better than that. But the grunts thought they were better than everybody. And we had to remind them. Without Motor T, the pride don't ride. So you guys better be nice to us, or you're walking the next 200 miles. Yeah. But see, here's what they forgot, right, JD? We're all infantry. We were all infantry. Yep. That's why we all have the cross rifles. We're trained as grunts first. That's our primary MOS. Then we got artillery guys. We got guys that were with the air wings. But you see, what happens is when we focus on that hatred, we forget about the love. We forget that we're called to love people. You know, there are people, because somebody's a homosexual, they will not give them food. Do you know what this boils back down to, folks? And what's sad is the church. The church, the very body of Jesus Christ, has been the head of it all. Bigotry. There were churches you couldn't come in if you were a black man. Now, look, and Angel will testify this fact. When we were in North Carolina, our church, Spirit-filled. I wouldn't go to anything else. Our church was Spirit-filled. We had Koreans, we had Vietnamese, we had blacks, we had white, we had Mexicans, we had Cubans. We had it all. Do you know we were persecuted? By churches? because we had mixed races. We had black and white couples. I said, listen, if you love each other, I don't care. I've now totally convinced God meant for that to happen. I am. Because I can tell you right now, I went to Ukraine and I could walk around. I know, besides the fact that Americans smile, they look alike. Just like our Amish look alike. The gene pool is kind of small. You know what? God meant for white men to have rhythm. But we got racist and said, we ain't marrying a black woman to bring it in. And I'll tell you right now, this is going to stir something in a lot of you. You wouldn't let your daughter marry a black man. You might actually have a white man who can jump. I mean, seriously, folks. The church was the head of this. The church has been the head of a lot of stupidity because of hatred. Now, I want to emphasize this to everybody. I do not hate cats. Okay? They just are my least favorite animal. I do not hate cats. I have had several myself. Okay? No, they weren't on my dinner plate. Although I would like to try it. We were at a Korean restaurant last night and we might have had it. It might really not have been steak I was eating. I don't know. I know I've had some other critters. But anyhow, during the Middle Ages, the church, and I'm going to say that this was probably one person who started this whole stupid thing because of a hatred. But the church was responsible for it because they were the governing body in Europe. The church deemed that cats were agents of Satan. This is fact. The church deemed cats were agents of Satan and cats were to be killed. They just about succeeded in eliminating, and within 100 years, of eliminating every feline in Europe. Now, comes the plague. They eliminated the natural enemy to the rat. Out of one man's hatred. I don't know who started it. Yeah, I don't know. It might have been a relative of mine. I don't know. Maybe it got on his horse and scratched his horse. I don't know. That's where mine started from. A cat got on the hood of my car during a rainstorm and fell off and decided to try to hold on to steel. I know it was a cat because there was hair and claw marks. And you can ask Angela. I'm surprised I didn't have the cops called on me. I chased that cat across my neighborhood with a samurai sword. Throwing my cowboy boots at it as I went. But there were other Marines around. We're all crazy, so it's just like, hey, that's just a Marine. Let him play. He ain't catching a cat anyhow. I did laugh, though, when that cat tried to go under my shed, which was elevated, and they had put chicken wire all the way around it. Bing! That thing bounced 10 feet. But anyhow, but because of somebody's hatred, they eliminated something and created something that now killed more people. Because of hatred instead of love. Let's listen. Yeah, I'm not gonna kill Barney, I promise. Yeah. I'm not gonna harm your cats. I will pet your cats. Okay. I had to explain to my boys, I do not hate cats. Let's get this straight. But I am opposed to them. I probably won't have one. I'm going to have to move way out in the country to have a cat. So that's all there is to that. So what's happened is the church, because of its hatred, church because of the hatred, we're thinking that black men were less. We put them in slavery. We allowed bigotry to run rampant in this country, even after slavery was ended. Oh no, you're a black man, you're in the back of the bus. By the way, white men are stupid. Back of the bus is fun. That's why I always got in trouble. The back of the bus. I hated the front of the bus. Oh, you can't drink out of my water fountain. What difference does it make? But hatred did that. And we still got it running in the church today. There are still churches that they will not tolerate. They will drive black people out. I remember when I went to Fredericktown my junior year in high school, I had said something to a friend of mine who was a Christian. And because, you know, Mount Vernon, there are blacks in Mount Vernon school district, but there was not one black person in Fredericktown. And I'd said something, and he said, "Art, you don't understand. This area is so racist. We had a black family. And these people ran them out." Now, shall we go over to Fredericktown and count the number of churches in Fredericktown and around Fredericktown? And on our way to Fredericktown that are in Knox County, that their kids go to Fredericktown schools? Now, I think things have changed. But most of those churches were still there. Because of hatred, these things have been allowed to flourish. Instead of, how about if I focus on the love? How about if I focus on loving those people? How about if I focus myself on loving homosexuals? I'm not talking about in the Eros way. I'm talking about in the Philos. Agape. I want to show compassion. I want to show mercy. You know, here's what we think. Here's what the Christians think. We think that if we legislate banning marriages and homosexuality, that we're going to legislate them out of homosexuality. It ain't going to happen. You can make laws all you want about stopping abortions. The abortion is not the problem. Do you know why a lot of those young girls particularly go get abortions? Because mama and papa are so full of hate. You disgraced us. Well, aren't we all high and mighty? It's not about love. They don't love their daughter. They now hate her. They despise her because their pride. Oh, you don't know what the community is going to think about this. I really don't give a holy rip what people think about me. If I want to wear cutoffs in here and a tank top, I'm not going to do it. Call you up, you'll join me. Now we got to wear our black socks and dress shoes. Okay. Phil will join us. I know he will. Yeah, painfully. Because he loves us. Now, are you getting what the Lord's been stirring in me, folks? We got to quit focusing on our hate. You know, you're not going to win a Muslim to the Lord by hating them. You're not going to win a Buddhist to the Lord. Because you know what? In Buddhism, they actually do try to teach peace. Inner peace. They really don't believe in going to war. So when you saw those Buddhist monks stand up in Burma for the rights of other people, I want you to know they were going against their beliefs. Because of a tyrant government. And you know what's really stupid? Is our government is tolerant of that. Our government tolerates them. You know what their troops do? They go into villages and they rape the women and kill the men. Bring their women in to make them into prostitutes. I actually investigated this after I watched the last Rambo movie. Because that's what it was all about. Sylvester Stallone was trying to make a point that the church has ignored. Because here's what the church did, folks. I loved what he... I really did. Because I stood there and I said, that's exactly what we've done. We sent peace-loving missionaries in with Bibles. They didn't, and here, in the end of it, those missionaries were fighting for their lives. Because, oh, we don't need to protect these people. We need just the Bible. Sometimes you need a sword too. Sometimes there's a time to fight. But we think that if we just send in missionaries, now maybe if they're disguised as mercenaries, or vice versa, mercenaries described dressed up like missionaries, you're not going to legislate morality. You're not going to bring it in by law. Those people, we need to help them. We do need to pray. I believe there is abundant power in us coming together and praying in the name of Jesus. But we're not just going to accomplish everything by sitting still and saying, well, we hate that. As much as I hate what pornography does to people, I bet I can win a whole lot more by saying, you know what? I've been in your shoes. There is hope. It's not hopeless. I'm not going to judge you. I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but how many of you were adulterers? Well, let me rephrase this in Jesus' words. All of you have probably committed adultery. You thought about it. Jesus said, you know, you've been taught that if you did the act, you were guilty. He says, I'm telling you now, if you think about that, you did it. But you know what the church did back, and I refused to read this stupid book. That's why I failed English. The Scarlet Letter. The hatred for the sin, they took it out on the people. And made them wear a scarlet letter. It wasn't so, it had no purpose. Because the truth of the matter is, there were probably quite a few people guilty of it. But you remember what happened when Jesus was brought, a woman supposedly caught in the act of adultery? He looked at her. He said, first off, those of you without sin, you can cast the first stone. Wrote something in the sand. I personally believe, and this is speculation, my belief, I believe he wrote the name of the man she was caught with. Because notice, he was not there on trial. And according to the law which they were under at that time, he was supposed to be present in order for her to be stoned. And he was to be stoned. So there's a really good chance he was a Pharisee. He might have been a leader in the church. And after they all dropped their rocks and walked off, which by the way, they had been rocks about yay big around. We always picture these little baseball-sized rocks. They hurt, but they were there to kill her. They carried all these rocks. They left a pile of rocks on the ground, and Jesus looked around and said, hey, who's here to condemn you? She said, nobody. He said, I don't condemn you either. He was the only one who could. But by the way, again, because of the law, he couldn't. He didn't condemn her. He hated the sin. He opposed the sin. I'm trying to change my words. That's how easy it is. Because that's what's translated through our English Bibles. Is hate, 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 hate. I hate this, hate this, hate this, hate this. No wonder people don't want to come to church. Because we've quit teaching love and we've started preaching about hate. Hating this, hating that, hating that. Da, 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 da. I hate broccoli, I hate Brussels sprouts, I hate this. I don't care what you hate, what you don't like. Quit focusing on that. What do you love? Do you really love God? Well, here's what God said. I guess I better just might as well read it. Verse 17. Love has been matured in us. I'm going to read this and throw some words in here, but you can follow. Among us in this, we may have boldness in the day of judgment because as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, as God is. How did God love us? Unconditionally, right? He loved us while we were yet sinners. Because as he is, so we are. That we love that homosexual. even in their sin. We love that drug addict. We love that prostitute. I find it hilarious that we have people, ministries, that go out and their goal is only to get the prostitutes off the street. They only minister to the prostitutes. But yet we have nobody who's really going out actively showing the love of Christ to homosexuals. And trust me, folks, there are whole groups of them. But you know what we do? We go out and we picket. We're going to picket you. And we're going to put signs up, God hates homosexuals. Again, totally unscriptural. Because we focused on hate and we are not, they are not mature in their love. Can I point out something to you guys? Jesus is not coming back for a child bride. He's coming back for a mature one. We've always been taught he's coming back for perfect. It means you've got to be perfect. You've got to walk right. You've got to smell right. You've got to look right. So what do? We start teaching, and I heard this message, and it was like a knife in my heart when I read this from a friend. Your clothing is a direct reflection to your inward man. I said, that's totally unscriptural. But this person was brought up underneath all these old-time Pentecostal preachers that taught you need to wear a three-piece suit every time you're in church. If you're in church, you better look right, you better smell right, you better act right. And guess what? By the way, all of those guys that are teaching that are dead. And I'm sure they got to heaven. God's like, all right, I feel better now. What did you teach that for? Because he said, I taught you in my word that it's not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. That's why people won't come through these doors. I've heard it. I have to get cleaned up before I can come. You don't know how bad I am. I want you coming in stinking. I want you to come in filthy. I want you to come in rags. I want you in here because you're not getting any help out there. But they won't come in because that stupid message got taught. Oh, by the way, most of those people were in the church at one time, and now they're out of it. And they're out of it because they believe this. They wholeheartedly believe this message. I can't come back because you won't accept me. I'm like, listen, I will accept you back. I don't care if you are now into homosexuality. You will not join this church as a homosexual, but you can come in here and you can get delivered. It may not happen on the first time you come in. But bless God, when you get the revelation through the Holy Spirit that it's wrong, and I'm going to teach against it, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not right. I got to thinking the other day, did you ever notice, I don't ever remember reading about diseases in King David's harem, Solomon's harem. Didn't hear about diseases among Abraham, Jacob, any of those guys. And they all had multiple wives. But yet when you take one woman and bounce around between a bunch of men, you get diseases. AIDS struck men first. I think man is the problem. But yet, you know what they've done? What the church has done? It's that skanky woman. That slut, that whore. She's spreading diseases. No, it's the Johns. It's all the dudes. But because, you know how many women have been run out of churches? Listen, I'm not going to ask you. You already know. Think about it. I'm not here to judge anybody. Because according to my Bible, I'm just riding in the same boat with you. I ain't got a right to stand here and point a finger at you. Because the love of God abounds in me. You know what? I'm not going to hold that against you. And as I've taught before, you know, I'm not going to hold your past against you. but I'm going to protect you. If you were accused or even found guilty of rape or molestation, and as much as that makes me sick, God can forgive you, and I have to as well. But you will not be working with our kids. No way, shape, how, nor form. I will protect them with my life. If you were convicted or accused of stealing, you will not be taking up the offering. If you were accused of luring women into your bed, you better stay 10 feet away from my wife at all times. But I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to deny you the love of God. I'm not going to deny you clothing. I'm not going to deny you food. I'm not going to deny you shelter. John actually starts getting into this very thing. He said, if we have all this world's goods, and this is in the same chapter, or might go into chapter 5. It's in the same book, same letter. We put it into chapters and verses. John carried the same thought all the way through. And what have we done? We deny people the very basics of life. Because, well, you know, we're holy, we're righteous, we're a set apart people. We don't need sinners to come into church. That, I kid you not, that's a message. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Again, mature. We love him because he first loved us. Now, I'm going to hit this, and I'm going to try to wrap up. Verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Now, here's what I want to, I'm going to eliminate just a couple words. If someone says, I love, and hates, he is a liar. How does that hit you? It's the truth. Whether or not I put the word love God, because if, like I said, if you can substitute the word love for God everywhere, then it says I love love. But I don't love my brother. It doesn't matter. Because see, what will happen is I'll eventually transfer that dislike, that hatred that I have towards that right on over onto my brother. Well, I can't love anybody that drives a Dodge. Just can't do it. Eventually, and here's what will happen. You will actually get into an altercation with that person, and that stupid little argument will now become a wall. And you won't get past it. I can't love anybody that loves Michigan. Can't love the Wolverines. Just can't do it. You know, I don't really care. I think the whole thing is stupid. You could have had Toledo. That's what it's all about. Most of you probably don't know that. This whole stupid rivalry was over Toledo. They got the UP because of it. Now, some of them up there think, well, whoop-de-doo, there's nothing up there. What, are you so stupid and blind you can't see the forest for the trees? You've got minerals, you've got oil, you've got gas, you've got a recreational area with unlimited hunting and fishing. You've got natural lakes up there. Guess what Ohio has to do for lakes? Fire in the hole, got to blow a hole or go to Michigan. But all of this stupid rivalry began over a 10 to 15 mile stretch of land. That in its heyday, yeah, it was great. But now, Toledo suffers over the whole thing, over the hatred. There was one shot fired. There was a war. There was a war. One shot was fired. Some redneck stuck his gun out his window, shot, and that was it. But and here today, we have a rivalry. It bothers me, honestly, to see these signs, and I see them all the time. A house divided, and it's got Buckeye and the Buckeyes and the Michigans on it. A house divided. Does anybody understand what the Bible says about that? It doesn't say in what it's divided in. It just says a house divided. Who cares? I'm from West Virginia anyhow. Who cares? He is a liar, verse 20. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, there are two commandments. One is like the other. He said, first you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and soul. The second, you must love your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes on to say, and he says, and in these two commandments are the law and the prophets. It's all fulfilled in those two commandments. See, everybody there's some things in there trying to get people to be right, trying to live right. There's some good things you can take from the law. There are really some good things. Thou shalt not kill is in the law. It's a good thing. But the truth of the matter is, if we walk in love, we don't need to be told not to kill somebody. We don't need to be told not to lie about somebody. We don't need to be told not to take our neighbor's wife. We don't need to be told all this stuff because we love. But when we start focusing on our hate, we think, I hate my brother. Guess what happened to Cain and Abel? He became angry and he rose up. And when you get angry, it leads to hatred. Boom. He killed his brother. All because God did not. And I looked this up this morning just to verify this. My Bible says God had no respect for his offering. I looked that up and it says, and God did. Basically, what happened was God did not look at his offering. He wouldn't even look at it. And this made him angry at God. He was angry at God and killed his brother. How about taking it up with God? If you're angry at God, take it up with him. But no, I don't dare do that. I don't dare tell my feelings to God. He already knows. Do you think you're hiding something from God? Do you think he doesn't realize you're mad at him right at the moment? I'm going to tell you right now, I had a talk recently with God. Now, I was very careful not to get belligerent. There is a line you can cross. I didn't need to have a Job experience. But I said, God, I don't understand. I don't understand this. I believe your word. I believe what you said. And left it at that. You want to know what I believe? I believe I had to get that out. I had to get that out to God. He knew it was there, but the problem is it was festering in me and it was stopping me. It wasn't stopping anything on Angela. It was hindering me. It wasn't hatred or anything of that nature. It was just, there was something I was believing God on and had not seen it happen yet. And no, it's not the house. It's a little more important. You know what I believe? I believe it's done. It's what I believe. I've had a lot of those talks, not quite to that degree with God. But I have asked God some things. I said, Lord, I feel lost here. Kind of, I need a GPS right now. Got to find, I'm not, I know you're here. I know all this. But I need a word from you. I don't need to go hunt down no prophet. Okay? As soon as you say that, people, oh, I know prophet so-and-so is going to be in Columbus. He's going to be at the Hilton. Go down to the Hilton in this meeting room. You know what? I'm tired of chasing prophets. I ain't going to any more prophets. God's got a word for me. He'll send the prophet to me. And if God has to send a prophet to me, somebody ain't been listening. Because God spoke to me in my bed that morning. I said, okay, it's settled. I'm standing on this. I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to tell you right now, like I said this morning, I don't even have to have a helmet. Don't even need a helmet. I'm ready to charge through. There ain't no demon in hell. There ain't no principality going to intimidate me. Because you know what? Dale Earnhardt wasn't the only intimidator. Seriously, he got his name by intimidating his opponents. And he wrecked a lot of them. But he intimidated them. That's how he won. The devil comes at us and we get intimidated. I like how Carmen always said, don't you know who I am? Well, I'm cancer. I'm poverty. I'm this or I'm that. You had better tremble. That's why I love that t-shirt I bought. I've shared you and the message that I taught on Resurrection Sunday. Death smiles at everyone. Marines smile back. We don't care about our lives. That's what we're supposed to be as Christians. But we care about our lives so much that we can't, when death or something smiles at us and starts coming our way, we back off. Listen, folks, you've got to crawl up out of that hole. We honestly, we were taught it was a little bit of a superstition about those fighting holes. They make excellent graves. Just like Keith said, he was an artillery in Vietnam. He said, we could pinpoint you, bury you right where you stand. When you're sitting still in a hole, it won't take long. They'll have you buried. And that's what the devil's doing. He's intimidating you. But you got to use the right weapon, and it's love, not hate. The hatred will destroy you. Love them. Love them. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not an easy road. Oh, praise the Lord. Stop right there. I want to do something else right now today. The Lord told me to do this. I want Monica, Edna, and Sandy to come up here. I'm not aware of any. Let me look around here. Okay. These three women have given their heart to the Lord. They're serving the Lord. And they're standing. They have unsaved husbands. And some of them are pure T demons. What I want, Joanne, I want you to come up. I want to have you pray. I want all you women who have a godly husband to come up and love him. Because this is not an easy road. They leave here getting fed, getting filled, and they go home to purity hell. You two come up too. Unless you're saying that your husband's... And if that's the case, I'm going to tell Dad. Because, like I said, they need our support. We go out of here and we don't think of anything else that happens. We don't think about what other people are going through. This is love. So Joanne, will you lead them in prayer? Men, you can intercede in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's just some of the things we take for granted. It really is. We take the simplest little things like that for granted every day. Just like we take putting on a pair of shoes for granted. You can go ahead and stand before the rest of you sit down. Yes, I am going to bless you and I am going to let you go. I will let you go sometime today. No. I want to let you know you're loved. You're not hated. If the devil comes against you, you have got to let somebody know. Let somebody know what you're going through. You know, my last time with the Ministerial Association, I told these guys, I said, listen, I'm not looking for something else to do. I've got enough on my plate. And it seems to me you're just trying to find me another job. But I said, I want to let you know something right now. If you're under attack, you call me. I said, I know a thing or two about fighting. I said, and I will intercede and I will pray with you. And we'll take, and I'm not afraid of the devil. Matter of fact, right now, I'm bold enough to say I'd like to see him face to face. That's how cocky I am. It's not just a natural cockiness. My mom can tell you that. It just comes natural. We're talking a spiritual maturity of I know who I am.